Hey, I got to be honest with you. CG's very nervous to be speaking on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, she's very nervous. And the reason why, because she could care less. Yeah, and she's going to do a great job. Encourage her, support her, get behind her. I just want to turn to the old guys in the room. I'd love it if you wore your old Letterman jacket. That would be so stinking cool to see. I hope you fit in it. I hope you fit in it. And don't feel like it has to be an NFL team. I hope the Wildcats in the room wear their stuff. I hope the Hobbs Eagles in the room wear their stuff. I hope the Artesia Bulldogs in the room wear their stuff. There's some Bulldogs in here. That's cool. Listen, the Seminole is Indians. Yeah, man. I hope y'all wear your stuff. I don't know what stuff you got, but wear it. And it's going to be a great time. CG's speaking next week, and she's going to do a great job. But one more thing is that this is our last weekend. I just want to emphasize this for our, you can turn in your letters to God. Now, over in the corners over here, you see we have paper and envelopes and pens. Maybe at the end of today's service, if you wanted to stick around, we're going to have some worship music playing, and just find a spot in the sanctuary to write your letter to God. If you didn't know, this is what we were doing. We've been doing it for the last month and a half, and we're collecting them. There's been a lot that's been turned in. This is just your heart. Just your heart and however you, whatever you just want to write to God. And then just kind of seal it up, and I'm going to keep it. I've got all of them upstairs, and I'm going to mail them back to you next year, January 1st, 2025, and I'm going to mail them back to you. Wouldn't it be incredible to see what God did and the confirmation to know that he read your letter and it was a step of faith. And so if you haven't written a letter to God, those stuff is found in the corner. Take some time at the end of the day's service. And if the message just gets boring today, you may want to write it during service, but I'll know who you are, okay? But today I'm going to wrap up this series we've been in called You'll Be Glad You Did. And let's see what the word God wants to go with it. You ready? Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Oh, we just love you. And we thank you that you've showed us a side of our soul that for many of us, we never knew. But isn't it amazing that you formed us, shaped us, created us, and you weren't gonna allow us to go through life without this conversation. So now as we wrap this up and we've just hit the tip of the iceberg, I pray that this would continue in lives, that they would look at the condition of their soul, the maintenance of their soul, the replenishing of their soul that leads to all other areas of their life. And I pray that this conversation between you and them would continue. But today, I pray that you would anoint me to speak these words that I think are so perfect because they come from you. And it's what we need to hear. So I pray that if people are in their seats right now, even on our online campus, they would just say, I'm listening. God, I'm listening. So speak to us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This series called You'll Be Glad You Did is something that we in regards to your soul. Every year we're going to come back to this kind of wisdom teaching. And let me just tell you some of the things we talked about. Your soul longs to work hard and rest hard. Okay? It's how God made you. It's one of the things we talked about. And it's called the rhythm of life. And your soul longs for you to finally get into the rhythm that God intended for you to be in. So many times we've got so many rhythms going on in our life. We are burned out, spent up, and loaned out. And that's no condition for a healthy soul. And there is a rhythm, and we talked about it. Another thing is just the hard work necessary for us to be honest before God. And we've talked about the way, the truth, and the life, and the hard work required and the sacrifice and the altar time that is required to go to the next place that God wants us to be in. But our soul longs for us to do the hard work necessary to be honest before God. Your soul longs for your heart to be honest. just finally honest. And an honest soul is a healthy soul, okay? Another thing we talked about is your soul longs to be loved and to love. Let me tell you, every person in this room, don't shut the door on being loved. Your soul longs to be loved. A healthy soul allows people and their God, our God, to love them. And you will never be able to love people until you're able to receive love, okay? And then it speaks to so many areas of your life. But today, I'm going to wrap this up with something that I think is so important. And it's three things. And these three things, as much as I'd like for it to be three different sermons, I can't get away from these three just linked together. The more and more I study, the more and more that I prepare, each one of these, I've tried in every possible way to push them into their own weekend service, and it's like magnets. They just go, and they find each other, and they come back together, and I'm not fighting it anymore. I've just decided today, I'm going to preach for about 2.5 hours, and no, I'm joking. I'm gonna lean into three things, okay, that you can't get away from the individuality of each one of them, but you can't get away from each one of them complements the other. Your soul needs this. And guys, let me just turn to you real quick. The first one I'm going to give you, I don't know how you're going to respond to it. I mean, I'm just going to tell you straight up. If you're in this church and like your girlfriend turned to you and said, hey, come to church with me, and you're here because you're kind of sweet on her, and I'm going to give you this first one, I want you to be able to realize, okay, God wants to meet with you today, and there is something real important you need to hear in this first point, and now's not the time to be macho, okay? And ladies, I'm going to speak to you the same thing. Now's not the time to go, and you'll see what I'm saying here in a minute. It's not time for you to be macho either, okay? Your soul longs for something that leads to some amazing things, but your soul longs for intimacy with God. Okay, now I'm gonna let that set in. Because just like us talking about rest, or just like us talking about to be loved, just like us talking about all kinds of things, intimacy is a word that if dirty people taught you this word, you got dirty definitions for it. And it's a beautiful word. There really is no better word to describe an intimacy that God the Father wants to have with you. And your soul wants it desperately. To be able to walk where God walks, to be able to know what God knows, to be able to be dialed into the still small voice of our incredible Creator, God the Father, who loves you so much. And for every one of us in this room, and even people in the room that you would go, well, I'm spiritual. I'm not talking about, listen, there's counterfeits out there. There's things out there. Rocks will never give you what I'm talking about. Cards will never give you what I'm talking about. Magic eight balls will never give you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a perfect created plan of God to where you can walk in the garden of life and your Father walks with you. Where He goes, you go. And it is one of the most refreshing, most valuable things that I have in my life. And I know there's people all over this room who can say, me too. Me too. And I never would have thought. And I'm a testimony of the importance of the intimacy with God. And guys, let me just turn to you. It means that all the walls, all the insecurities, all the fears, all the macho, at some point your soul did the hard work to recognize what was coming in between you and God, and God asking you, do you want that or do you want me? Do you want that or do you want me? And your soul made the decision for you. I want God. And you were able to identify the forgiveness in the areas that your life that you finally needed to just say, God, I'm done. And this lay down the hard work to get to a place to where you valued the presence of God in your life so much. And you couldn't imagine not having the presence of God. in your life. Now, there's a character, there's a figure, a person in the Bible who, if I'm going to just tell you, for the guys in the room, this was a man's man. And this is the guy, I mean, there's a lot of men in this room, tough men, hard men, men that man, you keep track of what you bench press, and you keep track of the fear that you put into people. And I want to talk you off of that real quick. And as cool as you are, you're not as cool as David, who could kill a bear with a slingshot. And you're not as tough as a lion coming and stealing your sheep and you going and hunting the sucker down and it's never happening again. Tough. And David being this tough could also turn around and go sit down under a tree and play a harp and write worship music to his God. It is so amazing, this amazing shepherd boy who inspires us. And yes, he made mistakes and he grew up to be a man and he failed. But as a young shepherd boy, David has always been an inspiration to me because he was able to be an incredible man and incredibly sensitive and dialed into the still small voice of his God. And he wrote a psalm. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to open them. And I want you to read Psalms chapter 63. And I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to listen to the words that are in it that are so perfect for what we've been studying. And it says this, O God, this is David's word, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Do you hear this wording? It's amazing. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life, and my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. And we just got through singing this before the Lord. And Albert led us in this. Let me tell you about our worship team. Albert came to me earlier before the service and said, I want to do something today. I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do. We have not talked about this message. We have not discussed what I'm preaching on today. And Albert in his truck driving around praying, preparing for this weekend, led us in that third worship song that the Holy Spirit said, just camp out in this song for a little bit. Encourage the congregation to lift their hands to me, to surrender all, to worship, to step into an intimacy with me. We didn't plan this at all, and that this is exactly how we opened up today's message with this scripture reading. And our worship leader led us in this. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as the fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed, he's saying, when I put my head on my pillow at night and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. And then he closes with this, my soul clings to you. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And the first thing that I want to talk to you guys about, and bouncing off of David's amazing psalm here in Psalm 63, your soul longs for a relationship, an intimacy with God, to absolutely be before him vulnerable, absolutely before him accessible, with no areas of your life that you would say, you can't go there, God, you can't go there. But in every area, you would give God full permission. Reveal the dark places. Reveal the curtains that need to be pulled back. Reveal the sheets that need to be pulled back. Father God, open closet doors that hold things that I've forgotten about, but still deal heavily with my life. This intimacy your soul longs for. And when we have that intimacy, there is this incredible gift we're given that leads to other things. But I want to talk about this real quick. Your God time, your being alone with God time, I want to turn to everybody in this room and tell you that life will tell you where to be. You will always have someone who will put you where they want you. And you have to have the faith in your life. And this is my, like, brother to brother, brother to sister. Let me just encourage you. You have got to fight for your time with God. You have got to fight for your time with God. Your flesh will want to fight. Your flesh will find every excuse. Your flesh will be tired. Your flesh will cause you to be irritable and cranky. I've even had my flesh on times that I knew this was my God time. I will get out of nowhere a headache. It's the dumbest thing. There's no reason for it. There's no reason this headache should come, and it comes on. And I've just learned over the years that there is something God's doing and inviting me into with this intimacy, this relationship we have, and my flesh will do everything possible, including give me a dumb headache, to give me an excuse to get me out of where God wants me to be. And let me tell you, some of the best prayer times I've ever had is to stand before my Father and say, there's apparently a reason I shouldn't be here today. And my flesh is fighting me. And it hurts every bit of my temple right here. And it works behind my eye. But it is not going to stop me from pursuing you. It is not going to stop me from chasing you. And some of the deepest well springs of life have come out of my soul from recognizing all the things that want to tell me where I should be, instead of me fighting for where God wants me to be. And I have gone to great extents to make sure that this private, personal time with God is fought for. When I get alone with God, let me just turn to you. One of my biggest mistakes that I make, and I've recognized it over the years, is I come into my prayer time and I just dump on God. I just dump on God. And I began to notice something. When I first started my prayer life years ago, there was this grace in the beginning days. It was just me showing up was a big deal. And I would dump, and I would just say everything that came to my mind, and I would close with an amen. And what I noticed was, as time went on, the presence of God got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until I could come, and it was almost as if I was talking to myself. And I had two options. First one is to actually say, God doesn't listen to my prayers. And maybe you've said that before. God doesn't listen to my prayers. God doesn't hear me. And what the Holy Spirit had me do, and this was years ago, he says, why don't you just do an inventory and tell me what your prayer life is like? And quickly I just did, what was it like? And the amazing thing was, my prayer life was wrapped around me doing all the talking. And it was so immature. Here I'm standing at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm doing all the talking. And I had to grow up. And I had to go apologize to the God. And he wasn't sitting there going, you just need to apologize. That's not how my God works. I knew I needed to. And I said, here's what I noticed. I looked back at all my prayer times. I've been doing all the talking, haven't I? And I want to apologize. And I've got it on the calendar. I'm going to come in the morning. We're going to start this all over. And I would say, I'll see you in the morning. And I would go to, and I would get a good night's sleep. And I would show up. And I would walk in. And I would just feel like praise is necessary. And I would begin to just sing to the Lord. You guys, let me just tell you, I can't figure out how to run this sound system. So I in the last couple years, I just make up songs. I'm good at it too. I don't know where it comes from. God, you are so groovy. God, you are so cool. God, you're so amazing. I'm just singing, and it's so corny, and I'm trying to rhyme words, and you may think, well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Let me tell you what, it doesn't have to be spiritual. It has to be personal. And sometimes I laugh with the Lord, sometimes I cry with him. And then when I'm get to the point where I feel like, okay, you've set this stage pretty good, I'll just shut off. Shut up is a better word. And it will start off with, I'll just walk around this room and I will just walk before the Lord. And then there'll be a part to where the sounds of my footsteps are just too loud, and so I'll be still. But then it'll be a point to where I can, There's too much thought about keeping my balance and standing up, and I will get on my knees before my Father and bury my face in these front chairs right here and be silent before the Lord. And there were times that he wouldn't say anything, and that's okay. I got used to the fact that his presence was here. And there was other times that he would stir things inside of me. Can I turn to you and tell you that intimacy with God is not you doing all the talking. Intimacy with God is you learning how to listen. And it is one of the best things for your soul. There is revelation that God gives you. Can I just tell you, between Heather and I, there has many a times been, God, there's nothing new to learn about Heather. There's nothing new to learn about Heather. It's my personal private time with God that God brings up Heather. And he will show me a side of her that I never have seen before. Y'all, Heather is an onion. And there are layers that I have no clue about. And Holy Spirit will begin to say, this is important, and this is her, and this is her love language, and this is her heart, and this is your wife, and I am the one who can show you the heart of your wife. And gentlemen, let me just tell you, you will never have the ability to figure your wife out. You've got to go to her father, who knows her the best. And ladies, there's no way you can figure out your husband. No way. But if you can find that rhythm of being alone with God, God will show you, Father God will show you the things about your husband that you never knew. It will wow you. It will amaze you. It will make you sit back and think, are you serious? And God will show you, let me show you. And it is the most beautiful thing for you to be silent and alone and to be led by the Holy Spirit, because it's in these times that God will change your heart. And instead of you praying your will, you will start learning how to pray God's will over your life. I want you to know his word. That's another thing about intimacy with God, is I want you to decide to be a learner. You've got to make up your mind, I can get this. I am not ignorant. God can show me. God can explain it to me. I am going to learn. I am a learner. And what that, there's a moment that Holy Spirit in you learning and you're not getting it. You'll read something and you won't get it. And it frustrates you. But can I turn to you and tell you, it's in those moments that you've got to allow Holy Spirit to show you how to be good ground. And he is going to identify the rocks, the weeds, and the hard-heartedness of your heart, which is the three enemies to the word of God. And it's in these quiet times that the intimacy with God will show you the weeds, the rocks, and the hard-hearted areas. And he will also lead you and guide you in digging up the rocks that need to be dug up years ago, pulling out the weeds that keep sucking the life out of you and distracting you, and revealing the hard-heartedness that no seed can grow on. And the enemy steals from, to the point that because of your intimacy, your quiet time with God, your soul is crying out for my heart to finally be good soil. And it is found in your quiet place. And this is so incredible. The word of God is made up of two things, the logos and the rhema. And the logos is the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word of God. Okay, and it's scriptures like in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and was with God, and he has been with God from the beginning. It sets up the authority of who God is. And as you read, you're going to see who the authority is, because that authority is being transferred to you. In the form of, if Jesus says, this is mine, I also give it to you. And the authority of Christ gives you the foundation to know that who you are in Christ Jesus. That's the logos. The rhema is the revelation. It's the things like when Jesus says, no man shall live on bread alone, but by the words of God that come from his mouth. Okay? We can have a daily diet of the revelation of God that just stirs things inside of us. The wow, the yes, Lord. And to decide to be a learner is one of the most healthy things that can help happen to your intimacy with God. Next time you say, I've got dyslexia, knock it off. I'm a learner. Okay? You learned how to drive, didn't you? Who taught you? You watched, and the word of God will teach you by you watching the people's lives that lived it, and faith will come alive, and it will be your rhema. And you have the ability to listen and to learn and to be a learner. This is the intimacy with God that I think is so incredible. And it doesn't stand alone. This first thing your soul longs for, intimacy with God, but it will lead to a second. You are called to a life of purpose. And the reason why these go hand in hand is because from your intimacy with God, you will find that it does feed over into the life that you live. I am such a proponent of people understanding wisdom, of you knowing that there's a purpose that every one of us has. We have giftings and talents and abilities, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about your skills and your abilities, because what can happen is you can get better at your skills and you can turn from God. I'm talking about from your quiet time with Jesus and your soul craving it, you can step back out into life equipped with the tools necessary to do His work. Let me show you. Romans chapter 8, 28. And we know thou that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Intimacy lets you lose your purpose and step into His purpose. And let me show you an illustration real quick, okay? I set these tools up here. We got a tape measure, we got a level, we got a stud finder. I got this from Heather. You know it works, okay? The best class I ever took in my entire life, and maybe some of you would agree on this, disagree, I don't know. Shop class was the best class I ever took in my entire life. Auto mechanic class is the best class I ever took in my entire life. Algebra, I didn't use algebra after school. I used addition. But let me tell you why. Mr. Bratcher taught our shop class. And one of the things that he would tell us is he would teach us how to use like a level. He would show us how it works. If you can use this tool correctly, it will save you so much time, energy, and money. If you can't use this tool correctly, it will cost you time, it will cost you energy, and it will cost you money. But Mr. Bratcher would then turn to us and he would say, and the funny thing is, it even works outside of this classroom, guys. Now, we would think that was corny. We would think that was, is Corey here? Is Corey over here? Corey Needham? I think Corey was in his class too. And we would think that was corny. Well, sure it works. But he was teaching us, I'm teaching you how to use this level. I'm teaching you how to use this square. I'm teaching you how to use this tape measure so that even when you leave this class, it works anywhere you go. It'll work in your house. It'll work in your dad's office. It'll work in your future home someday when you have a family. And we always thought that was corny until we got older and realized that this is exactly what tools do. We're taught by someone how to use them, and then we can go use them in whatever area we... Do you know these tools work the same anywhere in the world? And my illustration that I'm showing you is you think that God can only speak to you in your quiet place till you realize that the same tools He equips you with in your quiet place are the very things you take out into the world you live in, and they work out there too. They work out there too, and it's all according to His purpose. Purpose is defined this: it's the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. And there is a kingdom dynamics that you must be aware of that your soul longs for, to not operate in how you were raised, but to operate in the kingdom of God principles, as real as gravity working right now. And they don't just work at church. They work anywhere you go in this world we live on. We are called to according to His purpose. And this lesson is a lesson that we have to sit down and ask, do I want to be in His purpose? Do I want to know His purpose for my life? And if you do, your intimacy with God is the very thing that primes us to know His purpose. You are a byproduct. Your actions are a byproduct of the intimacy that you have with God. Yeah. So we've covered intimacy with God, called to a life of purpose, and now my third and final one, and we're going to be done. If you look at the two, and you look at my time with the Lord and then knowing what God wants me to do, it will lead to the greatest words your soul will ever hear. It will lead to, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, well done." I just want to let that sink in for a minute. For some of you, you seem a million miles away from that. And it's not as far as you think it is. And your soul has been trying to get your attention to show you it's not as far away as you think it is. Your mind says you'll never do it. You'll never get it. You'll never be there. It'll be a miracle if you even get to heaven. And that's just not the truth. The price has already been paid for you. You just have to step into it. From there, you just have to decide that you want to be in a relationship with God. To choose it instead of letting life choose for you. And you stepping into this conversation that so many people could help you with, but most importantly, the Holy Spirit can lead you in. And then can you imagine one day standing before Jesus and your soul is sitting there as the creator of the world, as the savior, the Lamb of God turns and says, "You did it. Oh, it was hard. I know it was hard on your flesh. I know there were days you didn't think you could make it, but you proved me time and time again. You proved I was real time and time and time and time again. And there is a legacy that you left behind of people still seeking the Father because you decided to have intimacy with me, to know me as I am known, and to walk in the purpose that the secret things that I talked to you about in those quiet times. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." Some of you are having to make decisions right now. Some of you are going through all kinds of stuff. And can I give you one of the greatest suggestions? You don't need any more opinions. You need to get alone with God. People are cool. And people have genuine concern. They love you. But one of the coolest things you could do for them is don't let them carry this pressure for you. They need the release also to see you walk into your secret place and to pray. And they would say, "Oh, that even blesses my soul." Last night, we called a family meeting, and my eyesight is getting challenged, and we got a report the other day about my eyesight, and we're going to go step forward into a procedure for my eyesight. But on my drive home, it wasn't well with my soul. And the one thing that came up, and this is just me. I'm not speaking for you guys. For me, I came home and I told Heather, I said, "I'm not sure I want to do this." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Because we haven't prayed about it yet. And I don't want to put a doctor's ability before God's miracle." And like, Heather's ready to pay the amount. Heather's ready to get me signed in. And I said, I am not going to be that guy that turns to God and says, "God, we got it. Dr. Bill can fix it, but thank you." I never want to be that guy. And so last night, we had an alone time with God. And I called my boys in, which is always awkward, calling your kids in. They're teenagers. And Heather's coming over, and we sit them down, and I said, "This house will be led by the Father. I would rather, and I want you to hear me out, I would rather lose my eyesight doing what God's called me to do than to save my eyesight doing what God doesn't want me to do. And I know that sounds morbid, but God wants health for me. God wants me to see. Dre brought something up a minute ago. She said, look at how many men of God leaders there are in the Bible that something was always wrong with their eyes. And it stirred my faith as she said, I think there may be a deeper spiritual thing that God wants you to see again, also spiritually. And recently, I told a group of people who I love that at 50 years old, I don't dream as much as I used to. I don't have vision as I used to. And this is such a good place I'm in right now, guys. I want you to hear my heart. I'm in such a good place because not only is it stirring my faith to believe God for my eyes to be healed, but my quiet time is also stirring the faith to be a pastor of vision and a pastor that can see God's work and can lead his people. And so there's two visions you can pray for your pastor, that Ty Bean's eyes are healed and that Ty Bean's heart sees the direction God wants to go for the next 20 years at Cowboy Junction Church. And these are the things that God reveals in your quiet time. What's he want to reveal to you? What's he want to talk to you about? What are the things that right now you're trying to carry and you shouldn't? Where's your secret place? Where's your alone time? Who gets to set your calendar? Who gets to set your clock? And is there a time that you can go to God and say, God, you've got to show me how to reclaim the time that you gave me, not what they gave me, so that I can be alone with you? Come on, you may not even like churches, you may not even like pastors, but you got to agree. If you love Jesus, if you like God, even this is something you need to hear. And you may walk away and say, I'll never be back at church. I don't like pastors. That's cool. That's cool. I hope we have a relationship one day. But I'm not here to build a relationship between you and me. I'm here to point you to Jesus. And you have been trying to do things on your own might, your own power, your own ability, and your secret place. Your soul longs for you to have a relationship with God, to know his purpose, and to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done.